This is the last review lecture on string field theory, and I'm going to talk about marginal deformations in open string field theory. The problem we're going to discuss first, then recapitulate part of the previous lectures, then present two analytic solutions. So, as we heard from Barton, the current formulation of string field theory requires a choice of consistent background. So it is not manifestly background-independent formulation, but although string field theory can potentially be background-independent, so in the case of open string, consistent open string background correspond to the boundary CFT with C equal 26. The backgrounds correspond to defined boundary conformal field theories supposed to be described by classical solutions. So there have been remarkable developments since Martin's construction of analytic solution for Tachyon condensation in 2005. For the construction of the analytic solutions, right? So in this case, we formulate a string field theory at the top of the hill and find a solution corresponding to the bottom of the hill. So marginal deformation we are going to discuss today. So marginal deformations are deformation of the action of boundary CFT which preserve conformal invariance. So there schematically, it is like a fine body potential. So we formulate string field theory. So in this case, we expect a one-parameter family of classical solutions if we formulate string field theory by choosing one point. And then, for example, let me give you a few examples of marginal deformations. The deformation generated by this one corresponding to the semi-known constant mode of the gauge field on the brain, or if it is on the transverse direction, this corresponds to the displacement of the position of the brain in transverse direction. A little bit more interesting example is the deformation by cosine potential. So this changes if you started from the D25 plane, depending on this deformation, that a particular value of the lambda, deformation parameter, this deformation, this describes a periodic array of D24 branches. So we want to construct an analytic solution of string theory corresponding to this major deformation, which is a problem we're going to discuss. And let me recapitulate previous lectures. So one way to think about degrees of freedom of string theory is to consider a set of infinitely many space-time fields. In the case of a D25 grain on a flat space-time background, it is going to be the set includes tachyonic scalar field in 26 dimensions, and Marcel's vector field, and so on. And then these infinitely many fields can be nicely incorporated into a single object called string field. Which is a state in the matter plus BC CSC of Gauss number 1. In this case, using this string field, equation motion, and we can this way, and the action is action can be written using UPV lab product, for example, that. This open string coupling G2 is related to G4, G5, G0 in Joe's textbook, just for completeness. And then this action is invariant under the gauge transformation changed by lambda. And then, so these component fields can be extracted from string field by taking the BPZ, taking BPZ inner product. So string field psi can be specified by giving phi from psi. All five in the box. Okay.
Then, when do you define three different versions of the coupling constant? GT, G naught.
Oh, why do I use GT? Yeah, that's a historical reason. This is on-shell tachyon. It is from the three-point on-shell tachyon coupling, and also the coefficient seems to be a little bit simpler. So there are no, you can use any convention. But just wanted to rate that as a familiar definition. So I said the string field is a state in the two-dimensional field theory that is conformal. So it is very nice, useful description of string field using CFT. So in the case of open string, state is defined. Some states like segments. So in the case of open string, there's a boundary. So open string field is defined on some space-time segment. And we can perform a conformal transformation. To map this infinite string strip to the upper half plane C, and the state is now defined in this upper semicircle. So this coordinate is useful because we can use the state operator correspondence for CFT. Find the Fox space can be represented as a state appearing here at the path integral over this region is corresponding operator inside the boundary region. So in the case of vacuum zero mode, the corresponding operator is just C. Then using this, and actually, but this is convenient, but in describing string field theory, there is a more convenient coordinate, which is called sliver plane. Which is related to the upper half of plane of C, that is up and gentleman. So in my talk I'm gonna use this normalization. Then this state is up to semi-infinite cylinder. And for example, this action zero mode is described by pi over 2 C node. The pi over 2 is from conformal transformation. So our convention, conformal transformation is get pi over 2 from this conformal factor. So using this sliver plane, the BPZ inner product and string field star product can be written in the following way. So we prefer pi 1 and pi 2 in sliver plane. And just translate such that this way and start program. This then for example, if you choose action zero mode, then calculate this one. This is the priority node. And the VST transformation changes C to D. CDC. And in the case of so this can be limited. This way. And you can calculate this by mapping this Riemann surface to the to an upper half plane. Or you can use expression of the correlators on this Riemann surface. Which is density, I mean, I divided by the infinite space-time volume factor. Is minus 1, and this is minus 81 square root 3 over 64. So in this way, you can, in principle, calculate any term in the string theory reaction. So but this is up to a space-time volume factor, which is infinite. So by the way, we have calculated the Tachyon potential. When string field is truncated to just for zero momentum tachyon, the tachyon potential divided by Riemann tension, Riemann tension is tension and then this is a simple cubic function. If you evaluate the Tachyon potential at the critical point, then you get so this is minus 0.68, which is a famous result that at the level zero truncation reproduces 68% of the Riemann tension. Okay, also I'm going to review the definition of the wedge state. Martin, explain the lecture. So we recently denote wedge state by W alpha, which is defined by inner product with this alpha. So this is string field can be satisfied by giving the expression for order phi in the Fock state. So this defines the state. And then consider the string product of W alpha and W beta. Alpha, beta. So this is W alpha plus beta. So for this holds for any phi. So we have integration. So which says goes under the supper multiplication, which is nice. And then we are considering which base states.
Are they applied for any real numbers, alpha and beta?
Alpha should be real number positive. So we can formally define alpha for and the double alpha for negative alpha, which is sometimes useful, but this is a little bit dangerous thing. So we consider which base states. Which is a edge state with some operator insertion. So the string products of wedge space states are wedge space states. Also, BLT transformation of wedge space states are also wedge space states. So it is a nice subgroup. A subspace of the states to look for solution to the equation motion of string field theory. In fact, Martin's analytic solution for Tarkin condensation can be written using wedge-based, actually, wedge-based states. So, the solution was written this way. So this is a part to be discussed at the end of Martin's lecture. And then sign one with the derivative of sign. And the cyan can be defined this way. Integral of z boost. And then so psi n prime CBN, the insertion of the ghost plus this one, integral, the energy momentum tensor. So I'm going to use this notation. So this wavy line denotes the integral of the B-ghost insertion, and this straight line with arrow denotes the insertion of the energy momentum tensor. And then, so this can be understood this way. So this is analogous to the insertion of L0 in the user state coordinate, corresponding to that, taking a derivative with respect to t. So this insertion of Hashimoto tensor infinitesimally change.
Something special about wave states when alpha is integer?
Yeah, alpha, when alpha, okay, I didn't mention. So when alpha is integer, for example, alpha 1 is just a vacuum, SL2 are invariant vacuum, and alpha 2 is the vacuum star vacuum, and alpha n. Then this is, it is special.
That's all. There's nothing else special about
this. Nothing very special about this. For example, analysis here, so I don't see any.
Yeah. The psi n, so the tachyon vacuum, they don't have this V insertions, right?
Sorry, which one?
CV.
CV?
You have inserted CV.
No V.
Ah, I'm sorry, yeah, yeah. So this is coming next part, sorry. This is coming next part, I'm very sorry about this. This is just a sequence. So this is the end of the iteration. So any questions so far? Okay, so I think we are now ready to discuss analytic solutions for merger deformation. Safety action plus it is deformed by some operator V, and lambda is a deformation parameter. So this deformation preserves the cohomology invariance to linear order in lambda when V is a planar field in dimension 1, and for any dimension 1. Primary fields V of T C times V C times V with the RST code. So that if we denote let's denote a state corresponding to the operator CV by psi 1. Okay. Yes. Cerebral plane. This again the CV. Because this is C times V is a primary field of vanishing dimension, so there's no conformal factor. So then this state psi 1 is analyzed by DRT operator. So this is familiar physical state condition. But in the context of string field theory, this means that this state psi 1 solves the equation motion to a linearized equation motion of string field theory. Then, okay, but when the deformation is exactly marginal, namely, the conformal invariance is preserved to a finite deformation of lambda, we expect a solution for the same. So we expect a one-parameter familiar solution labeled by lambda. And the leading order is given by psi 1. the solution from to the nonlinear equation motion. So for finite deformation, so
you want subscripts n.
N this one? Ah, sorry, this is n. Okay, thanks. So this is so to for the lambda, we got the linearized equation motion. To the second order, so lambda squared. So our goal is to solve these equations analytically. And formally, we can solve these equations. For example, for psi 2, we can solve by B naught over L naught. But as Martin commented in his lecture, the combination of this operator V0 over L0 and the star product generates a very complicated Riemann surfaces, so we don't have analytic control. So our strategy is to use V0 and L0 in the slipper frame. Solution. Oh. Regular operator program. The regular is operator product of natural fields. So this is this paper by Martin. And the next paper is by Michael Kiermaier, somewhere in this room, and over there, and Leonardo just arrived. Leonardo was there, and Bardo too. This is concentrated around that area, plus by myself. So, in this paper, so the two is constructed by using a curly V0 over curly L0, which is a zero model of the the Gauss and energy model tensor in the plane. And we're going to express this within the Schwinger representation. And okay. After a few months, which is not so difficult, but then we end up with a rather simple expression 0 minus 1 dt. So for this time, we can have cd. And CD here. And the wavy line that the insertion did this operator. So by the way, from now on, I no longer write this part. This is always there. And but I think it is clear. So instead of deriving this expression,
there's only one integral, right?
Only one integral of dt?
Yeah, there's two degrees of...
Oh, that's difficult to integrate. I'm sorry, thanks. So instead of deriving this expression honestly, I'm going to demonstrate that this solves the equation motion. So this one. So let's consider the BLT transformation of this state. So BRC, okay. So CV is BRC invariant, BRC closed. So the only thing this BRC operator does is to change the integral of the BRC, integral of B goes to integral of energy mountain tensor. Then, or maybe I just erased. But then, actually, this is the insertion of this energy mountain tensor. Is equivalent to the taken derivative with respect to t. Right? So this is a total integral of total derivative. So there are two surface terms. One is from t equals 1. The other one from t equals 0. But this term vanishes for regular operator products because two c equals insertions collide. So this is going to 0 for regular. And this part is just psi 1 star psi 1, right? This is psi 1. This is psi 1 star psi 1. So we have solved this equation. Okay. So once we understand how this equation is solved, it is very easy to generalize to psi, to solve psi n. Psi n is given by minus 1 the transformation of this state changes one of the B equals insertion to the corresponding integral of energy mass tensor. So there are n minus one term, and each term is a total derivative with respect to Ti. So there will be two surface terms for each term, but the one of them vanishes for regular products. So the other one just can be written as the product of sine and cosine. in my sense. So this sort of equation motion for science. So in this CFT representation, so the proof can be understood pictorially. So it's, I found it very nice. And let me give you one example of regular operator product. Interesting example of regular operator product, which is given by Takion. So this is satisfied the regularity condition. Okay, so this is a time-dependent process, and the exact time-dependent solution incorporating. For alpha prime collection. So classically, we don't make any approximations. But in general, the operator products are singular.
Excuse me. Yep. So this is the sort of tachyon rolling. Does it end?
Yeah.
Does it go to the sort of tachyon vacuum? What's the late time?
So this is a decay of the event. So at the end of the day, I think it is related to the crossing radiation and so on. Yeah, it doesn't get to the static configuration at the bottom of the potential because of that this energy must be carried somehow, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So, but this solution should know what is the end of the development. But actually, if you this is the time-dependent process of decay and given, and the later time behavior will be some crossing radiation. That is what we expect. Okay, so maybe I can.
But you should mention your recent beautiful result.
Beautiful result.
We actually demonstrated this.
Yeah, that should be. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about this on Thursday. So this actually, this solution reproduces the boundary state of the rolling tachyon, Ashok Sen used to describe. So from this solution we can extract the Sen's analysis of the rolling tachyon. So I'm going to explain more detail in my...
That the sum converges?
Sorry?
An infinite sum, does it converge?
Yeah, that seems to converge. So the higher order term punches rather rapidly, so...
The solution looks very strange as far as the tachyon is concerned, because actually it converges beautifully, apparently. At least the numerical analysis says it converges beautifully, but the tachyon, instead of rolling down and oscillating around there, starts oscillating faster and faster with larger and larger exponentially growing fluctuations. So for quite a while it was doubted whether this really described the destruction of the brain, but now, as next week will be explained, not this week,
So actually, if you look at the coefficient of this, the behavior of this time dependence, it's gonna, as Patton says, this is going to be going ever growing oscillations. But it seems like, in our interpretation, this is an artifact of actually this singular behavior is maybe describing the regular crosslink physics in terms of open string degrees of freedom. That's our interpretation. But let me mention more sooner. Okay, so where are they? Okay, so this is interesting. Interesting case with regular operator products, but in general, there are singularities, right? So. Okay. example, 3 points.
Can I ask one more thing? What's the radius of convergence? Is it clear or is it?
It seems to be the infinite. So that's what they. You mean convergence?
No matter how big the lambda is.
Yeah, it seems to be convergent. So it's very fast. So in this, in the singular case, so this step, yeah, okay, this is non-vanishing, actually divergent. So, but we can regularize. This integral, introducing some cutoffs, then add counter terms, it takes the limit. So this way, we have constructed Psi 2 and Psi 3, but then, okay, so, and also we found obstruction when the deformation is not exactly marginal. Because, you know, all the deformations, all the marginal deformations are not exact. So this is good because we should not be able to construct a solution when the deformation is not exactly marginal. Also, Martin briefly mentioned, this singular case, the solution doesn't satisfy normal gauge condition. So we are just solving the classical equation motion, so this doesn't, there's nothing known, but simply it doesn't satisfy. This counter term violates the boundary condition, the Schnabel gauge condition. And I think we can, in principle, proceed this way, then construct higher psi n. But then Michael Kiermaier and myself change the strategy and construct the analytic solutions in a different way. So far?
I don't know. When the operator products are regular, I mean, there presumably is also an obstruction for trying to get the solution if it's not exactly marginal, right?
Yeah, so that's right. Yeah. So for the regular deformation, it's exactly marginal. So we should be able to consider.
So it's an operator on the right hand side. It's not just one. When you wrote proportional, you mean the sum operator there, right?
This one, yeah, this identity. Yeah, for, yeah.
The identity.
The identity for that.
Yeah,
can be. Yeah, in that case, I think we should be able to consider. And this is a typical example. For example, dx dx, the leading term is d squared over 1 plus identity. But then, yeah, for example, yeah, then, for example, we can have this kind of term. Then we know this is not exactly marginal. Then in this case, we found obstruction, actually. So there's a nice correspondence between the violation of exact marginality and the obstruction of the constructing solution.
It's obstruction by including which dependency in here.
Which dependence?
It looks like that you're getting some back reaction.
Back reaction?
Yeah, U is a back reaction. So you modify the component built to it, but then you get a back reaction because of the U.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So in this case, so this is not exactly marginal. So we are not able to construct actually phi 2.
I would have thought that if you also included U dependence in your string field, that you would be able to fix it.
Yeah, I don't know. It may be. So if the deformation flow into different CFT, then we may be able to find the solution. But so far, our technology cannot allow to do that. But that's interesting, actually. For example, marginally relevant deformation and so on will be very interesting. The previous solution, namely that solution, consists of n unintegrated vertex operators. N series, right? And n minus 1 integrals of moduli. So there are n minus 1 integrals of moduli, and then corresponding b-both insertion, n minus 1 b-both insertion. These integrals of moduli. So our strategy is to use integrated vertex operator. So we still use one unintegrated vertex operator. N minus 1 integrated vertex operators. So integrated vertex operators are more closely related to the deformation of the BCFT. So yeah, they might be easier to deal with in the singular case. So then, yeah, okay. So integrated vertex operator is a BFT clone. And BFT transformation of integrated vertex operator is total derivative. So it vanishes up to such a sense. Okay, so let's now solve this equation for psi. I don't know this solution by psi L2. So we're going to insert integrated vertex operator here, the integrator second vertex operator from 1 to 2, and put it on wedge state W2. Then BFT transformation of this operator insertion simple. So this is VRC invariant. And the minus sign from non-decommuting Q and CDs, plus CD. And then what we get is so for the moment, I'm going to continue to assume the operator products are regular, but I'm going to relax them. That's the condition. But for the moment, let's assume and one of the surface term, when t is equal to 1, it vanishes. And then we have cd1, cd2, so which is the operator insertion for psi1, psi1. So again, this sort of equation motion for psi2. Then the next one, it is just a simple exercise to confirm that conformal transformation adjusted and PSD transformation on this operator insertion produces psi one star psi two minus psi two star psi one. We only need to use these two equations. And actually, this can be written this way. So this is like a path ordered exponential, but this is different. The upper limits are different. And actually for the and so the term, this expression generalizes naturally. Wn. But for the generalization to the singular case, so it is, so this can be also written this way in principle, namely. So this is an integral the marginal operator from A to B. And so ingredients of this solution can be written in terms of terms when we extend this or this in lambda. So like this operator, this operator. And then when we prove that this is solved the Gaussian motion, we use for the regular case, these relations can be easily derived from these relations. But then, these relations should be generalized to the singular case, because these relations can be understood in the following way. So, this operator, exponential of lambda VAB, implements the change of boundary condition from a segment of the boundary from A to B. So if we change the boundary condition from A to B, we consider the BRC transformation. So if the modified boundary condition is conformal, the contribution of the BRC from the BST transformation localized to this piece and this piece. Okay. So this is this corresponds to this item. So you can think of this as a contribution from the BST transformation of the boundary condition changing operator. The second one can be also understood this way. So this again localizes, but then the term localized to A punches because the Q squared tangent. Right. So this is an interpretation of this identity. So even for a singular case,
all the discussion that you do, I mean, applies only to specific types of marginal deformations, right? So, for example, the very first formula that Q on V is del CV, that's true only for like...
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to write that expression in a second. So this is for regular case, regular marginal deformation. So in the singular case, there will be corrections.
Like for example, BRST variation of e to ikx is c del x e to ikx. Yeah. So it's not a derivative of something.
Yeah, so I'm going to write the singular case. So what I wanted to say was, so there will be an operator which implements the change the boundary condition from A to B, but then in general, when it is singular, we need to renormalize the operator by the normalization by this interval. So by the way, we have explicitly constructed this kind of operator which satisfies the relation, but then, okay. Then, we have the summation of this operator. In this form. So this is no longer CD Martin. Is that what you're asking? So but then from this structure, so this can be any change of boundary condition. It should satisfy. Or any boundary change of boundary condition. So, and actually, we know that the boundary constant changing operator behaves like a primary field. So we can be more specific, like this is just a derivative of A plus Kohmann weight plus DC. But then we don't need a detailed form of these operators. And then the second relation. So from these structures, we can construct solutions for arbitrary, exactly marginal deformations. This is like a renormalized version of this kind of operator. Then we define KU by this state. Session of 1 to 8. Then here's the transformation of this state can be decomposed into two pieces. Because U is from so this operator. So the SD transformation can be separated into two pieces. And the solution. So what we claim is that by L given by AL, the U inverse, or IR, given by so this psi L and psi R for the equation motion.
So in the singular case, V has no PE with itself.
Sorry?
In the singular case, V has no PE with itself.
Yeah.
So when you exponentiate, you don't have to regularize?
Yeah, that's what we denoted by R. So we have to regularize. And
you should Q only after you regularize Q only affects the endpoints of this?
Yeah, yeah. So again, actually we have explicitly constructed this renormalized operator which satisfies this relation. And for a class of marginal deformations, but that class covers all the marginal deformations I know. So I Yeah, if there are other this might be the cover the whole the major deformations. But anyway, so we have, for example, so this is the just like cosine deformation or deformation by dt. For all those examples, we have explicitly constructed this renormalized operator, which satisfies this equation. Plus some more, a few more, which are okay, necessary. But then in this construction, you know, in the previous solution, we have an integral of moduli, so changes the width of the wedge state. And then it is a little bit complicated to renormalize. But in this case, the wedge state is fixed. And so it's just it's a little bit complicated because of the existence of boundary. I mean, a boundary of the boundary. I mean, existence of A and B. But then renormalization is pretty straightforward, less complicated. So we constructed two solutions. Actually, these two solutions are related by a gauge transformation. And actually, let's write the expression. Psi R. So they are related by the gauge transformation generated by U. And actually, psi L and psi R both violate the reality condition. And the solution satisfies the reality condition and also generated by. We can scale root of U. And since U, state U is 1 plus order lambda, actually it starts from order lambda square. So the inverse or square root of U or 1 over square root of U are well defined perturbatively in lambda, which is all we need. Okay. So then, yeah, I think I'm gonna lose my time, but I still have 15 minutes. But let me first. I thought I didn't have time to prove the distance equation motion. So I tried to go on to the briefly mention the super string field theory solution. Then, so I'm gonna explain the super string field theory solution. Then come back to the equation motion if we still have time.
You just have the seminar here at 12:30.
So yeah. So the next seminar will be start. So I have to be punctual. Right. That's why. Let me first try to write the marginal deformation in the open supersonic field theory. This is something this over there. So the structure, a solution. I just write down a solution. So this is a generalization of the first solution. And as you see, it is very closely related to the solution. Saw the pretty much the same figure before. The difference is that these operating instructions are the V is minus a picture of the unintegrated vertex operator times C, and U. It is the IT transformation. So then, so somehow the solution in the Wittgenstein bosonic theory and the Berkowitz superstring theory are pretty similar. And this does not satisfy the reality condition. It can be a solution. Presented in the same paper in the version 2. And I wrote a short paper. But in this solution is for the regular case. In the singular case, again, Michael and myself, so this is a generalization of the second solution. Then I no longer write the star symbols for star product. Where a hat is just So AL was from this operator, but AL hat is from this operator where R is inverse, in the sense inverse of the BSD operator, which exists in the large Hilbert space. This is into the infinite. And then, so it's once we got once you have a solution to the bosonic theory, so the construction of the super sense theory is amazingly simple. And it's just a few lines to show that this satisfies equation motion. And this doesn't satisfy the reality condition, but a real one can be also generated by some gauge transformation. This is just a presentation of the formula solution. Actually, I only have 5 minutes, so maybe I should stop here. And if you have any questions, please ask. Thank you.
The typing solution was almost pure gauge. Is there something similar in for these cases?
In the same sense, so this is not, so the leading, the solution, the marginal solution, right? So all the marginal solution in the bosonic case, and the leading term, which is given by this state. So this is in a non-trivial cohomology. So in that sense, the answer is no. But Fuchs and Kreuter, so they try to write this as a formally pure gauge to construct a solution. So in that sense, yes. But physically, this should be in a non-trivial cohomology, right?
So it's like C del X is formula Q of X.
But we have to certainly enlarge the Hilbert space.
Is it trivial to do null polarization?
Null polarization. So you mean the deformation by X cross direction? That's actually easier because I think in the case that operator products are regular, so you can use. But this is for any solution. Any solutions.
So in summary, I guess that we have exact marginal solution for both the bosonic and the superstring.
Yeah.
But no vacuum solution for a superstring.
Yeah.
Right. And somebody's worth it.
There are vacuum solutions for the superstring.
But not vacuum. So you have to
say that there are. I don't know if everybody here would agree with that.
Okay, so nobody has calculated the vacuum and the correct tachyon potential.
We're working on it.
Yeah, some of the audience, some of the people in this audience are working on that for many years.
For many years. We have 1 more week.
And then also there are no relevant solution, not the solution for relevant deformation.
Yeah, like a lamp solution, which is tachyon condensation, but not to the vacuum. For example, D25 to D34. So those solutions are not fine.
With this coast deformation, you should get to something like a lump solution, right? At a critical value of the parameter, right?
Oh, yeah. That was included, yeah. But yeah. That's a marginal deformation.
So can you get inside into lump solutions through that kind of deformation?
I think that's an interesting thing to explore, but not so far. Situations yet.
I'm not sure why you're saying that there are no solutions.
That was my impression. There was no
Yeah, so there was the, in the cubic theory.
Cubic theory.
And then in the work that Woody and myself did, we showed that there is some sort of equivalence between this theory and the non-polynomial theory.
Yeah.
In any case, are there any solutions that are well behaved? In a sense that they have a GSO minus sector and things like that.
Oh, there are, yes. So,
maybe we should discuss.
Yeah, that's a.